As we head toward Arizona's August primary elections, we're inviting in the candidates running in contested races to talk about why they're running and some of the key issues in their contests.
You know, it's been 24 years since Arizona has had an educator at the helm of the Department of Education.
I am a proud American Muslim woman.
That although our election system is the greatest in the world, it is still far from perfect.
We need more options for our young people, more counselors, more social workers.
Common Core's been repealed by the State Board of Ed, and now we have new standards.
And we know what's possible if we keep moving forward.
The current shortcomings of the office have left our system vulnerable to cyber attacks.
We're gonna fly, fight, and win on Election Day with your help.
Today, Deidre Abood. She's running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate against Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema. The winner will face the winner of the GOP primary in November. That race includes Congresswoman Martha McSally, former State Senator Kelly Ward, and former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Abood joins me. And Deidre, first off, why do you think you are the best candidate to be the Democratic nominee for this office?
Because I'm raising the expectations for this office, actually going around talking to the people, answering their questions, having a detailed website of what I believe, why I believe it, and running on Democratic values proudly.
How do you think that your past work will inform your candidacy and would inform, you know, how you run this race if you become the nominee?
Number one, I'm an attorney. I did immigration and estate planning. Before that, I was a civil rights and social justice advocate traveling all over Arizona, working with marginalized groups. And I have a passion for inclusion. I have a passion for bringing people to the table and talking about issues. And I also have a passion for understanding that we don't have to agree on everything, but everybody has a sincere hope that things will get better for them. And if we can really talk about the issues that matter instead of the simple ones that we seem to hear politicians talk about that are non-controversial, we're never going to solve any problems.
You mentioned that you have done immigration law in your past. And that is obviously a top-of-mind issue here in Arizona. It's become a top-of-mind issue recently across the country as well. And one of the issues that keeps coming up is the idea of border security. And it seems as though for a lot of different people that has a lot of different meanings. I'm wondering to you, what does border security mean and what kinds of border security measures do you think that the country can and should pursue?
We can regulate who can come into our country and still keep our humanity. And that's what I feel like that we've lost. We are right now talking about the children that are being separated at the border and put in cages by our government. And that is an important issue, and people are very upset about it. But we can't forget that we've been doing this to Dreamers for a very long time, and we haven't solved that problem either. The vast majority of people who were undocumented in the United States came here legally and then lost their status and were unable to regain status. So just people sneaking over the border is not the major issue, and there's a lot of technology that could deal with that problem. And at the same time, we figure out who to let in our country, regulate that, but also keep our humanity.
Do you buy into the argument that anything that happens with the DACA recipients, this population of so-called Dreamers, as you've described them, should their fate sort of be tied to other either border security measures or other changes to immigration? Or do you think something like DACA should be a standalone bill?
I believe most of the issues should be standalone bills. The poison pills, the extra things that we put in is what actually causes so many problems. Number one, we don't look at the unintended consequences of these extra things that are put in. And number two, then we don't understand how our representatives voted because there's a good thing and a bad thing in a bill. So definitely something like DACA and definitely something like taking care of making sure that children are not in cages by the U.S. government, these should be standalone bills.
Let's talk about health care. And obviously, the Republicans have been making pushes to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. I would imagine that that is not something that you would be in favor of. But at the same time, there's been a lot of talk about how premiums are going up for people in Arizona and elsewhere. What do you think is the best way to sort of get the health care marketplace where it needs to be while making sure it's affordable for people and for the government?
Number one, we've got to stop letting the corporations determine what our health care looks like. Number one, the pharmaceutical companies, they are overcharging and gouging us, and we can get the same drugs in other countries for cheaper prices. Number two, the insurance companies are determining what drugs we can get, even though our doctor has prescribed them. We have got to have a system that everybody can invest in at a reasonable cost, spread the pricing out so that the costs become reasonable. And then everybody gets health care based on health rather than profit. Every industrialized country in the world has figured out how to do that. We don't have to copy their systems, but we can look and see what works and doesn't work and what would work for us, and maybe even come up with something new. But it has to be something that people can invest in and receive health care.
Does that kind of system only work if everybody or some large majority of Americans actually have health care and buy health care?
It is actually more economical if everybody is buying in. But even if the vast majority were able to buy in, then that would lower the cost. That's basic economics. But as long as we have incentives for insurance companies not to cover people, allow insurance companies to control the medical costs, allow insurance companies to determine what health care we get based on their profit, then it's going to be more and more difficult to actually get health care. And we're turning into a GoFundMe health care system. And that is not where we need to be.
I want to ask you also about the issue of gun rights and gun safety. What to you is the right balance in terms of making sure that schools are safe? Should there be more guns in schools as far as school resource officers or arming teachers? How do you think that we should make sure that kids are safe when they go to school?
Number one, teachers are already overloaded and underpaid. We don't need to turn them into security officers. Number two, having all of those guns in school does create a safety issue. Number three, it's disingenuous to say that we can't at least attack this problem from some angles. For example, right now, if you have a domestic violence violation, if you have a conviction, you are supposed to be checked against a database. And yet, we don't fund the ability, and in some ways, we don't allow the ability to check that. And even in places that we do, there are exceptions. So if you don't sell guns as your primary source of income, you don't have to check against the database. That is the very least we could do, is make sure that people who already have a conviction, have already lost their constitutional right to possess a gun, actually are kept from possessing the guns through that database.
You are obviously running for a statewide office, which means you've traveled all across the state during your campaign. I'm wondering what has surprised you the most as you've been traveling across the state?
Two things. One is the kitchen table issues. So it depends on your kitchen table. but we have a lot of common issues. So, for example, there's a lot of places that don't have cell service and don't have internet service. And it's not just rural areas, but rural areas suffer the most. And then when you go to the reservations, then the nations, they have it even worse. I carry two cell phones with two different service providers and still can't get service in some places in Arizona. And we're in 2018. Then some things that we don't even realize, like on the nation, in the Navajo Nation, I traveled 35 miles on a highway that was completely dirt road and dangerous. And it's a highway. These are not issues that should be in the United States in 2018.
All right. Deidre Abood is running for the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Senate. Deidre, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.